There you are in the front row. So, come on up, Michael. So, being that they're always inspiring you guys, Michael and Paula, and there's this other guy, I don't know if you heard of him, Mike Ritter? You heard of him? Yeah? You like him? You like Michael? I like Michael. He's not here today, I heard. But this is for Michael on this side. But I wanted to give this to you guys just for as a small token of being awesome. So thank you so much. And you can go ahead and open it. Yeah? It's a his and hers. I don't know which one will be his and which one will be hers. But we got the coffee cup, Hope Worldwide, New York Metro, and the travel mug. Wow. So there you go. Great. Okay, good. So it looks like we're up and behind. Let's see if I can control. Oh, I can even control the clicker. Life is so good. All right.
We weren't sure.
Okay, so. Yes. Okay. Let's say a prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God, we are so grateful to be together today. What an amazing time it is to be together. What an amazing son you gave us and died for us, as we talked about in communion. Father, you're compassionate, you're loving, you're giving. You're always thinking about how to serve and how to give. We're so grateful to be here today. We pray you'll be with our service, be with our hearts as we talk about giving back to you and really loving humanity on this planet, God. I pray that we'll be able to really imitate the love that you've shown us and be able to show that to other people. So God, thank you so much. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So today, I definitely do want to thank out. I know that Michael and Paula got to point out certain people, but just you guys as a region, thank you so much for serving in the nursing homes. Thank you so much for serving in the soup kitchen. You post it on Facebook. I get to see it all the time, and it's just a constant reminder of your love and your heart for your city. So just one round of applause for you guys. Thanks for being so awesome. And, you know, as we talk today, I have a goal today, and my goal today is to help you realize that you're stronger than you think you are spiritually. Okay. And for some of you, you know, cause do you ever just want to be strong spiritually? You ever just want to really be super strong? And, you know, even here, there we go. In Ephesians 6, you know, it says, you know, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. And so, you know, the goal here is, God, please help me to be strong. And kind of my story is, I'll be a Christian 30 years coming up in October. So I turned 30 as a Christian. And then about 13 days later, I turned 50 as a man. So two cool birthdays coming up. And very grateful just to be saved still. Just glad to be holding the door right now, honestly. But one of the things that I get to do in my life is serve as the Hope chapter director for the New York City Church. So I get to come see you guys. I get to go to all the regions. And thank you for all the hard work that you do for Hope Worldwide. Thank you all the work you do for all the people who have needs in your area. And even just for serving one another. It's just definitely so powerful. But my story is I'm not that proud of. For my first 22 years as a Christian, I would say if you added up the amount of times that I actually served, it would be less time than maybe, not maybe this sermon, but maybe a couple sermons put together. I was a disciple. I loved God. I was in the campus ministry. I was in the singles ministry. I was in the marriage ministry. I was an evangelist. But serving wasn't something that you'd find in my library. It wasn't something you'd find in my archives. If they had Facebook back then, it's not something that you would have saw me doing. And it's not so much that I didn't want to serve. It's just, I don't know. What happens, time goes by and you have these intentions, right? You have these intentions that you want to make a difference in the world, but I just, I didn't make it happen. That wasn't something that was on my radar. So, you know, but about that time, about that long ago, about 8 years ago, you know, I started really reading that and started looking at the scriptures and looking at Jesus, and things started to change. And for all 30 years, I've wanted to be strong spiritually, you know. And sometimes when it comes to being strong spiritually, we can think it looks something like this, right? We can think that, I just want to ask you, if you had to write a term paper on what it meant to be strong spiritually or how you get strong spiritually, what would be your points in your term paper? Like, what would be some of the things that you would think, gosh, if I was really going to be strong spiritually, then these things would need to be in line? What would you put? You know, have you ever gone, you want to tell me? Go ahead. Excellent. So an innate ability to focus on the scriptures, have your mind focused on the scriptures, so not everything else, right? Awesome, right? So just concentration, being focused, that definitely helps you be strong spiritually. Anybody else have any idea? Michael? Okay. So not just reading the Bible, but applying it, right? So kind of having an action list from your quiet time. We'll take one more. Go ahead. Okay. Awesome. So praying to God, but then believing, making sure the belief is attached to the prayer, right? Yeah. And how about going to retreats, right? How about going to church regularly, right? How about fellowship? How about spending time with one another? I mean, there's lots of things that we can do to be strong spiritually. And, you know, I like this picture because I like to think if I took all those, even if we made a list of 100 things, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, be all these things, that one day I'll look like that spiritually. I mean, the spiritual muscles will just be all rippled up in my big neck and just like that. Maybe even have hair too, you know, you never know. But again, and it's like, I don't know if you guys have some heroes spiritually. People, who comes to your mind when you think of someone who's strong spiritually? You know, like just, that's just kind of a question. Just think about yourself there, not looking for answers. But don't you have those people? You know, you have those people who you're like, oh my gosh, ew. They're so strong spiritually. How are they like that, right? What is it about them that makes them so X, Y, and Z, so consistent? Sometimes we can go, you know, I can go on a retreat. I can go, and gosh, it is a mountaintop experience, isn't it? I mean, sometimes, I even visited one of the retreats that you guys had. Got in a car accident on the way there, but God protected me. I was still able to teach my class, so that worked out. But you know, you just go away, and then what happens from the mountaintop usually? There's that thing next to the mountain that's called, begins with a V. Valley, right? It's like, ooh, almost like a sliding board sometimes. New Year's resolutions. It's February. Is that a popular topic? Should I bring that up right now, right? Like, you had those goals. How are they going to be strong spiritually? I'm sure you had something to do with spirituality December 31st. This is 2017, baby. That's my year. New Year's here, right? So it's that desire to be strong. And so my goal by the end of this message is to help you to be strong spiritually, that you'll catch some new insight, and that it will really help you to attain and reach that goal that you have. So here we go. So I have to change with my finger and then go like that and then go like that. There we go. So the first thing that we're going to do if we're going to be strong spiritually is we've got to define strong, right? Makes sense. So this is kind of a confession. Maybe you knew this. I didn't. When I looked up the word strong, I wasn't expecting this definition. What do you notice about this definition of being strong? What it does say is able to withstand great force and pressure. What it doesn't say is the ability to inflict great force or pressure. Does that make sense? So I was taken back by it when I started studying this out. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. You know, muscles and strength and being jacked up physically is all about being able to go in and do damage, right? Spiritually, I want to be strong because everywhere I go, I just want to be taking the demons out, right? I want to be slaying those demons. Bang! Lead me not to temptation. But according to the definition here, strong is you're able to withstand great force or pressure. Well, why is that a big deal? Superman is strong 90-something percent of the time, except for what? Kryptonite, right? How strong is he here? You can almost imagine his enemies being like, so how strong are you now, Superman, right? How you feel now? How's it going? Because when it comes to kryptonite, there's no Superman. Because he's not able to withstand, for whatever reason. I mean, you got to watch the movies and read the books. And, it's some stone from where he grew up or whatever. Whatever the reason is, though, he's nothing with that. It will kill him. Because he's a weakling when kryptonite and him are together, just like the picture shows. Make sense? Okay, so keep that in mind and watch this. Okay, can you push play over there for that video?
So, the cool thing you can do at home with adult supervision here, right? I got a pressure cooker, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm gonna add a little bit of water to my pressure cooker, all right? And then some little balls of aluminum foil, and I still store those in there. Actually, when they're ready, we're making this a platform, okay? We're going to put this lid on top of a styrofoam, so it doesn't get wet.
Okay.
On top of that, we're going to add some styrofoam cups. Okay? So just put two of them in there, make sure they're not touching one another, and then seal it up.
Okay.
Right now, my pressure cooker works by trapping all that gas inside. So we'll just put this right on the burner right now. Okay? And we're going to let it go. Seal it. It's going to build up a lot of pressure. It's going to reach probably 15 psi inside there, which is one atmosphere. So it's actually reaching double atmospheric pressure.
It is now 20 minutes later. We are back. The styrofoam cups have been cooking, and hopefully some magic's been going on within that pressure.
Exactly. And we've released the steam pressure from inside, so we can safely open this up now. And when we do, take a peek inside here. Look at that. It's like the coolest.
Check this out.
It's like little cup of Chino cups.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so we started with this.
Okay.
And then by adding 15 pounds...
All right, so how strong was the cup? How strong was the cup? Oops, sorry guys. This is like doing one of these things. I've got to do this manually and I got to do this with my thumb. Sorry. Here we go. From this definition, how strong was the cup? Not very strong, right? So styrofoam cup, normal size, 20 minutes in the pressure cooker, and it comes out this big. Because it's not meant to be in a pressure cooker, right? It wasn't meant to be in there. And so from that standpoint, it was weak because it wasn't able to withstand the pressure that was put around, so it shrunk. Okay, stick with me on this. Oh my gosh. Sorry guys, getting it. Do that. And do that. There we go. Okay. So we're disciples, right? We already talked about Superman. You put Superman and kryptonite together, you get that little tiny cup, right? Because he can't handle that in his life. And so our goal today is to help you to get stronger spiritually. Okay, so what is the goal then? Is not the goal to get you to be able to withstand the pressures of the world, right? Because here's the thing, if you and I can withstand the pressures better, what happens? We're stronger. It doesn't blow us away. It doesn't shrink us down. Remember the scripture in Hebrews that says, don't shrink back. I will not be happy with you if you shrink back. But so the question is today, what we've got to identify if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be strong and really hit that goal, are what are the pressures that you face on a daily basis? Okay, so let's start with this one. How about work? What kind of pressures do you face at work? You know, have you ever heard this from your boss? My way or the highway? Or your boss, your manager, right? I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes we do get refined by fire. Our job is an amazing place. Like our marriage, it can really sharpen us and help us, can it? And then other times, it's just too much to take. And I'll be honest with you, 16 years in corporate America, after I was in the ministry, I made bad decisions. I heard things like this. Sometimes it's not said like this. My way or the highway, there's the door. It's more like, do you like your job? Do you want to keep your job? Great, then you know what you got to do. And being a disciple sometimes, do you ever get one of those thoughts or feelings like, this seems really weird? You ever feel like that at work? Like, something's going on, you're told to do something, you're like, I'm afraid to ask the question right now about, is this really going to work? Or is this the best for the customer? Is this best for the client? I got out of the ministry. I didn't have any money. And I got this job. And it was going well. And I was doing well. And I get to those points where I would just not want to ask the question. I'd rather not know. I think everything's cool. So-and-so said there was even disciples that worked there. And I would check with them. But in my mind, I compromised. Because I just didn't want to lose the job. I didn't want to lose the income. And I'm very ashamed of that. I've confessed it to God. Sometimes I'm like, okay, God, no record of wrongs. Thank you very much. Please, I need to know that because I feel so bad about doing that. But the pressure of that job, I should have quit. I needed to jump out of that fire cooker, but I didn't. And it shrunk my convictions. And again, I'm better for it, but moving on, right? What about this one? What about this kind of pressure? Everyone else seems so happy. Everyone's so gay. Life is so easy. How you doing? Good. Isn't it amazing? Everyone's good. How you doing? I'm good. How you doing? How is everyone good? Like, am I the only one who's not good? So then what do? We're like, yeah, I'm good too. And then we lose it when we go in the bathroom, right? We lose it at home. We look in the mirror and we're like, geez, I fooled everybody else, but I don't seem to fool myself. And really, we're sad. We're lonely. We got emotional stuff. And then when you get kids, then they get emotional stuff. And then they put on the smile. I mean, this is a huge issue. There's lots of pressure to measure up, right? And so, again, we could talk about that for a long time. How about this one? I'm getting better at this. Ecclesiastes 4:4. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit through Solomon. And I saw that how much toil? All toil. How much achievement? All achievement. Spring from one person's what? Envy of another. How about that? So, gee, Dave, why are you trying so hard to achieve so much at your job? Well, the Bible says because I'm basically envious, so I got to check that one out. What are some things that we can be envious of? It starts when we're young, right? I mean, come on, man. Junior was all happy with that tart pop, man. Life was good until his little sister had a triple scoop. And when little sister's got a triple scoop and you got a tart stick, life's not so good, right? So right at an early age, it's like, how do I get the triple scoop, right? I mean, you get a pair of shoes and you're all happy and then someone else, their shoes are nicer. You're like, where'd you get those shoes at? And you get a jacket and then someone else gets a nicer jacket. I mean, it just never ends. You get a car, someone gets a nicer car. You're like, I need to work harder to get a nicer car. Need a bigger place. And it just doesn't end, and it can just keep going, you know, forever and ever. How about this one? I would say that from all the pressure cookers that I've been in, you know, thank God, like I said, I'm 30 as a disciple. I'm just glad to be holding the door. I'm glad to be holding on to my faith. So grateful. This one almost took me out right here. I remember I broke up with a very serious girlfriend when I became a disciple. It was really tough. And the hardest thing was being single and then seeing what looked to be a very happy couple in this kind of scenario. And I'm like, where's my girlfriend? Where is she? I want one. I want one of those. You know, and it was lonely. It was hard. And I just had to make sure I got out of those situations as quick as possible because I knew what would happen next. How about social media? What do you think is going on in his mind right here? I was trying to guess. Is he mad because she's got a nicer phone? Maybe, right? Is he envious because she's getting more likes than maybe he's getting? Maybe, right? Could be 100 reasons, but he's still upset. And she, look at her face. She's like, yeah, that's me. That's me. That's me in my new car. That's me in my new job. That's me in my new boyfriend. That's this, because on social media, everything's perfect. They should have a social media that just shows the terrible things of life. If you're feeling really sad, you post on this book over here. Sad book. We got Facebook and we got sad book. You only post your perfect parts of life, right? So all these things create pressure. How about this guy? What's going on here? You don't have enough stuff. And the stuff you got is no good. Look at his face. What do you see in that face? Does that look like a happy face to you? I see lack. I see want. And I see don't have. Right? The pressure to spend. The pressure to get new stuff. The pressure to upgrade. This one. There we go. Strong. How strong you are spiritually is directly tied to how much pressure you can take as a disciple from the world and the things that drive pressure into you. I got two boys. One's going to be a senior at University of Maryland. One is a senior in high school about to go to UMass Amherst. Whoop, whoop. I tell them, I'm like, Luke, you're in the library and you're studying and some girl walks in and she's not your type. That's fine. You want to turn your chair a little bit. Just, you know, try not to lust and all that stuff, right? Because we do that, right? Anybody ever struggle with lust besides me? Okay, good. Thank you. I'm like, dude, there's going to come a time where, like, your perfect girl, not the perfect girl, but kind of your perfect girl walks in the library, you got to go. You just got to go. She can come in, you need to leave, you know? I mean, that's how I got through college. I was like, sometimes, like, hey, how you doing? Oh, you? I got to leave. Way too much pressure in here. I've met my match. I surrender. White towel, leave it on the table. I'm going to go study someplace else. You got to know yourself. If you don't know yourself, this is my fear of what can happen to you. Can you please push pray? Play? Both. Oh, the voice isn't up. The volume. Can you start it again? Stop. If you could start it again with the volume, that'd be great. So the pressure of the world, there's lust, there's this, someone's got a new pair of shoes, Johnny got a new car. You didn't pull out. You didn't disconnect. Okay, I'm going to say something serious, and then we'll go back and have some fun, okay? That's why some people aren't here now that used to be here. Right there. I can handle this guy at work. I can handle this girl. We're just having coffee. I should wait till next month till I have the money, but I got to have it now. Right? Got to have this phone. Got to have that phone. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to skip midweek. Got to skip church. The pressure of the world without disconnecting, you're going to explode. That's called weak. So was it the bottle that was not strong enough, or the pressure was too great? Yes, sorry. What was it? What's that? Wait, raise your hand if you think it was the bottle wasn't strong enough. Raise your hand if the pressure was too great. Raise your hand if you're not sure. Raise both hands if you think it was both things. Okay, you're the winner. How much you read, how much you study your Bible, how much you pray, that's going to give you a stronger bottle. Absolutely. How much you look at stuff on the internet you shouldn't look at, how much you're not open about, and the darkness that's in your heart that you won't share with other people, and how you're feeling emotionally, how you're feeling spiritually, what's really going on, and you let that build up. You can be reading all you want, right? A lot of us have been there. But the dichotomy just doesn't work. And then boom. Thank God, sometimes those are confession sessions. Boom. I'm disconnecting from the world and I'm telling everybody about what's going on. Maybe you need one of those today. Maybe the world's been wearing you down and you just need one of those sessions. Man, I just got to talk about what's going on. Talk about where I've been at. Let's rebuild this thing. Let's disconnect from that pressure. Let's get out of that library with that girl and let's go to another library, right? I'm very excited to announce to you today that in just a moment, Susan Correa is going to be coming out. As a matter of fact, she's going to be coming out right now. And I had Susan come because here's an example of someone who's a CEO, president of companies, has had multi-million dollar companies, and has been able to do it as a disciple, who has said, you know what, no way, world, I'm not doing it your way, I'm going to do it God's way. Wait till you hear her story.
The two most transformative days of my life was the day I was born again in Christ and the day I discovered my why.
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you want me to show the video first or after?
You can show it later.
Okay. Sorry.
I've had the unique good fortune of never having worked a day in my life. I just found a job I love and loved the job I found. I grew up by default in the business of fashion and have led multi-million dollar businesses across India, Europe, Canada, and now the United States. Business was simple and easy for me to understand. It had one simple central purpose. Profit was at the center of everything that we did. The operating principles of business, too, were really easy and straightforward. You had to be first, you had to be fast, you had to be strong, and you had to always stay in the lead. We accumulated titles, we grew in self-significance, and we grew in net worth. Quite simply, we played to win because the winner took it all. It was January 15th, 2002, that I stepped into the water and accepted Jesus as the Lord, Savior, and Master of my life. I had studied the Bible for 2.5 years prior. Why did it take me that long, you may ask? Well, the laws of business were simple and easy to understand. The teachings of Christ were paradoxical and diametrically opposed to everything that I had learned in business. You had to be last to be first, meek to inherit the earth. You find strength in surrender. You got to lose yourself to find yourself. And no, it was not about accumulating titles and growing in self-significance. It was about grabbing hold of the towel, going on bended knees, washing people's feet, and living a life of servitude. Why did the tenets of Christianity and commerce have to be this polarized? Could I dare reimagine a different face for the future of business? What would the business of benevolence and responsibility look like? Could I dare align commerce and Christianity and find the point where profit and purpose came together? As I worked to find these answers, two incredible Christians impacted my journey. My brother Ian, who immediately after embracing Christianity, put aside a life of profit to search for a life of purpose. He left the comfort of our home in Bombay, India, to walk with courage into a leprosy colony and worked there for 10 years, bringing hope to what the world had put aside as hopeless, behind the high walls of stigma and ostracization. Ian's transformation from a virtual lamb into a veritable lion of the faith bore testament to me like no other example of the power that rested in the embrace of God's word. The other significant impact came from none other than Dave Mitchell. Over the last 10 years, I watched Dave's life. I watched him preach, and I was always deeply impacted. Not because he's a great speaker, not because he's very articulate in his delivery, because every time I heard him speak, every time I saw his heart unveiled, I saw mirrored the heart of Jesus. I saw a heart that delighted in serving the poor and meeting the needs of the less fortunate. That was a significant difference that made the difference in my own search for a greater purpose for my life. It was August 18th, 2014, the day that everything changed. In an effort to make business better, I collaborated with Hope Worldwide to launch a program called Empower. For every garment I sold in one of my brands, I fed children in a school at the Hope Foundation School in Bangalore, India. It started as a simple project, a regular collaboration, and 2 years into the program, we funded 186,000 meals. So often in life, we look, but we do not see. We hear, but we do not listen. That day was radically different for me. I saw the needs. I heard the dreams. For too long in my life, I had looked around for somebody to do something about the great divides and the unfair contrasts of the world. That day, I realized I could stop looking because I was somebody and I could do something and I was going to do something here forward. I arrived into the school that morning to exercise a choice. I was transformed that evening because I realized it ceased to be a choice. It was the obligation of business to rise up and meet local and global needs. I had found my why, and I consequently found my way forward. And unknowingly, at that point, I had planted the seeds of what was to be my next business, which is Art in Eden, a business that was born to be the best it could be for the world as we strive to be the best in the world. I had just touched the lives of 400 kids, and that day I dared to scale that impact to touch the lives of 4 million kids. I knew that God had put this dream on my heart, so I figured that I should attempt to scale the business based on how big my God was and not how finite my skill set was. And boy, did I find strength in that surrender. God, He stepped in. He stepped up and He began to accelerate. He made so many difficult moments perfect. He put funding into the business. He put incredible people, seemingly out of nowhere, into our lives. Art in Eden is a sustainable line of children's clothing. It launched on January 25th, 2017, across the United States. But we began playing it forward as of last year. In October 31st, 2016, we launched a local impact program. 20 minutes away from the affluence of New York lies a school called the Camden Street School in Newark in New Jersey. There are 627 children in the school. 90% of the children are below the poverty line, and 40% of the children are special needs kids. Our team gets a chance to volunteer one day a month in the school. We run a mentorship program for the kids. It's just incredible to hear their stories. Majority of them have had some family member succumb to a gun attack. They come from incredibly hard situations, and we get a chance to go in there and touch and change their lives. On November 4th of 2016, we launched a Clothes for Cure program in collaboration with Hope Worldwide. We committed to finance the nutrition optimization program that is running in Central America, and that meant a contribution towards 1 million multivitamins and 7,000 doses of albendazole to help children in Central America. A couple of my team members and myself got a chance to travel to El Salvador and see the incredible work of the Hope Worldwide team. God is in control has ceased to be something that's just cool to say as a Christian. It's the reality of my life. I am beyond excited each day to witness the splendor of His majesty. We are not called to do great things, brothers and sisters. For too long, I was paralyzed in that thinking that I had to do something really immense, really great. We're called to do small things with great love. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step in the right direction. And for me, that has just begun. Thank you. To God be the glory.
Amen. There's so many reasons why I like for Susan to come and share. I know a lot of you are in business and you have a lot of dreams. And Susan was able to put aside a company that was very close to exploding and giving an early retirement for her and started something completely from scratch with Hope World that's going to benefit kids as long as it existed. And so really proud of you, Susan. Good job for sharing. Thank you very much. All right, so we're going to go to this here. So you're probably wondering, okay, Dave, you promised to help me be stronger spiritually. What's up with that? Let's get strong spiritually. You guys ready to get strong? Okay, I'm gonna explain to you what happens and the tipping point of where strength really kicks in. All right? So Jesus... when you think about Jesus, think about this. There's 89 chapters that talk about Jesus' life in the Gospels. 17 of those chapters account for the pre-ministry or the cross. Okay? So, we're going to put those aside because it was either as he was a baby or the last day of his life. So there's 72 remaining chapters that cover the ministry of Jesus. 42 of those chapters contain Jesus' teaching and or serving the poor. So either in 42 out of the 70 chapters, he's actually serving the poor and meeting needs, or he's teaching about serving the poor and meeting needs, okay? In 15 of those chapters, 21%, you have two to four accounts. So not just once is he serving and teaching and loving the poor, but it's actually four different times in one chapter where it shows him doing that. Why is that significant? I'll tell you why. Because 80% of Jesus' recorded life is with him teaching or serving the poor, meeting needs. Did Jesus ever sin? Obviously, no. Was Jesus strong spiritually? Obviously, yes. Jesus spent 80% of his time serving others. Maybe there's something to that. What is the definition of strength? You should know it by heart right now. Able to withstand great force or pressure. When did Satan go after Jesus with the most velocity? Right after what? Fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Did Satan win? No, but he tried hard, right? Jesus was able to withstand him in that moment. Look at this guy right here. All right? I want to do something. I want to ask you a question. Compare this face that you see. You're not looking at it. Sorry, if I had to do this again, I think I would figure it out. But okay, look at that face right there, okay? Does that face look strong spiritually? And look at this face right here. How about that face? How's that face look? Does it look like he's about to overspend right there? Does it look like he's about to jump into envy? No. Think he's worried about how big his nose is? Huh? Think he's worried if his jeans fit him right there? Think he's worried about how many likes he has on his Facebook right there in that picture? No. I don't think so either. I want to read this to you. This is him talking. I truly had no idea what it meant to serve. Sure, in church I see people serving in the song ministry, amen for those people, or serving in the children's ministry. But what it meant to serve outside the church, walls became clearer to me in this Hope Youth Corps. I quickly realized that my focus on the Hope Youth Corps and back home was not on serving God, and that needed to change. Through helping building houses, serving communities, and seeing children's eyes light up, I started to feel a longing to serve and wanted to focus on that and nothing else. The Hope Youth Corps took me back to the roots of God and our relationship and reawakened things in my character I had thought I had conquered but hadn't, and I'm better for it. Do you think that this boy in his arms wished that he had bigger muscles? Taller. Do you think he wished he was taller? If you could interview that little boy, what do you think he would say was wrong with him at all? Nothing. Why? Because he was giving him love. And all you need is love. Is this guy, is he getting the same message that this guy's getting? This message is you have everything. The other message is you have nothing. How pressured does he feel in this, you think? You think he's about to explode? What's exploding is his heart. Because he's loving someone. And all the lies that hit you in the head, you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not tall enough, you're not short enough, you're not muscular enough, you're not rich enough, you're not this enough, you don't live in the right town, you don't go to the right school, you don't wear the right stuff, is bouncing off of him like nobody's business. So you can get stronger. Keep reading your Bible, don't get me wrong. Keep going to midweek. Keep coming to church. Keep doing all the things that proactively make you stronger. But ultimately, the strength that you have is your ability to handle the pressure that you put yourself under. Does that make sense, what I just said? You determine how strong you are spiritually by where you put yourself. When you put yourself into a Hope event and you come home, do you go, man, that really stunk? What a waste of 3 hours of my day. Or do you go, man, there was something about that that was really awesome and I can't put my finger on it, but it was so much fun. Have you ever gone to a mall and window shopped for 3 hours and come home, that really stunk? Absolutely, right? It's all a matter of where you put the pressure. There we go. 50% of the kids who go on Hope Youth Corps become disciples. 50% of the non-baptized teens and college students that go on Hope Youth Corps become disciples. Parents, did you hear what I just said? What is it, some kind of magical woo-hoo-hoo? No. It's called unplugging from the world and going someplace where the cell phone service doesn't come in. The one thing that my wife and I did, we made a ton of mistakes, but we started taking our kids on service projects when they were like 12 years old. And now their hearts explode with those kind of opportunities, and they've turned that into local projects. You don't need to have a lot of money. You don't have to go to Central America. You can do something here, but parents, we have an awesome opportunity to unplug our kids from the world and help them serve others, because you know what's going to happen? That kid really liked me. The school that's Susan said she's supporting, the Camden Street School, my son goes, he meets this little boy. They really hit it off. They're having a lot of fun. It's really great. The next time we come back, my son can't come. This little boy's like, where's Seth? Where's Seth? So we tell Seth, he asked for you. And then Seth felt kind of bad. I mean, it's not that he didn't want to go. He had something. So he comes back the next time. We find out that this little boy had been stabbed multiple times by his mom. And then she took her own life right in front of him. You never know who you're sitting next to. You never know who you're serving. You never know. But let me tell you, they ain't looking at your shoes. And they ain't looking at your phone. And they're not looking at your muscles. They're looking at your heart. And do you love me? Do you care about me at all? That's what they care about. And that's how you get strong spiritually. Is just throw yourself in it. You know why I'm the director of Hope New York Metro? Because I know without it, I'm a sinful man and I'm going to go to probably the wrong place when I die. I got to put myself in situations where I can serve because I'm so selfish. That's just me. I'm not projecting on you, but I know me. And you got to know you. And you got to know where do you got to put yourself so that you can do really awesome spiritually. That's what you can control. One last thing. This is the tipping point right here. What question do you ask yourself? What can I get? What can I give? That will determine how strong you are spiritually. Pressure relief valve. That's hope or why. I'm going to go serve. Starting to realize I got a lot of good things in me. A lot of people have what I want. Because I love people. And I go out and serve. And they love me. And I love them. And it's awesome when you love each other. Anyone ever feel like this after Thanksgiving? How much, if you had your favorite chef in the whole world, based on how they look, and they put a brand new turkey right in front of them, what are the chances they're going to throw it down? Any chance? Based off of that look right there? No. What does Jesus say? He says, I've come that they could have life, and life to the full. When you're serving and you're loving other people, you're so filled up that when Satan comes to put that thing in front of you, you're like, I'm full. No, thank you. Guys, let's go and serve. Let's be strong spiritually. And let's go out there and love the world like never before. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave, again, just coming out to Brooklyn. Dave's got his creative visuals. Those are always important. Let's go, son. All right, I'm not going to say, you just saw it. I'm not going to recap what he said. Amen. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Father, we love you. We're so grateful, again, that you provide a way for us to take the pressure off, God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the brothers and sisters that you put in our lives just to help us, God. We pray that we can continue in our walk, just following Jesus to be fashioned more and more into his likeness, to serve and to give and to really devote our lives to the cause of your son and of you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's stand together. We'll sing, just a reminder as we stand, that we have our midweek service at MS 113 on Wednesday. And after we close our song here in just a few minutes, we'll have our Bible Talk leaders meeting in the music room. Don't look up there. Oh, sometimes I feel that I could fight an army with just me and you, and there's no one could harm me. Oh, but sometimes I can feel a little shy. That's when I need to know that you are there. That's why I'm singing. And when I'm down, and when I'm lonely, when I'm tired, I need you only.